I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read verse 34 through 40, and James 1, verse 27. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. All those who are able, would you kneel in prayer?
It's good to see each of you here. The topic is the ministry of visitation. I wasn't sure how many were going to be here tonight, but I knew that whoever came was going to be interested in visiting. So I'm excited to see all of you here tonight. I know you want to get involved in this ministry. I mentioned this morning that we'd start out with two testimonies. Maybe you were sick, and someone came and visited you, and how it strengthened you and helped you. And you can either come up to the microphone or someone will bring the portable microphone to you. Does anybody have a testimony they'd like to share? I mentioned it this morning to give you time to think about it. Anybody have a short testimony? You were sick, housebound for a while, or just dealing with something and hurting, could have been emotionally. Someone came beside you, visited you, and helped you. Anybody want to share anything? Okay, I don't want to, force anyone to say anything. Something happened recently with me. I wasn't sick or housebound or anything like that, but just an experience we had was, I don't remember if the exactly remember who the person was, but this person said, it was someone from our congregation, they were praying that someone would visit them. And when you think about that, someone in the confines of their home just kneeling there and maybe praying every day, Lord, send someone to visit me, or maybe it was that person, I don't remember the details, send someone to visit me. And it's just awesome, this ministry God has gifted each of us. Each of you here are gifted to visitation. You all have gifts. When you visit, you take the gifts to them, and you will be using your gifts as you visit. One last chance. Anybody have a testimony? Okay, Sister Renee, do you want the microphone, or you want to come up here? Brother Danny. Sharon was that sick, she could hardly move. And when you know, Sister Lillian Miller chose that time to come down and visit her. And she just walked right in the door because Sharon didn't answer. And she helped out at a time of need. But see, there the Lord even prompted the time for her to visit Sharon when she had that need. And so it's just a, it's awesome how the, it's his ministry. It's not our ministry. It's his. So thank you for sharing those testimonies. I want to ask us to think, first of all, how do we view the elderly, the aged, the sick, the feeble, or hurting? What is our perspective about these people? What is our viewpoints? And each of us has a perspective about them. I read the account, and I'm sure you probably heard this before. Three people were visiting and viewing the Grand Canyon. It was an artist, a pastor, and a cowboy. And as they stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon, each one responded with a cry of explanation. And the artist said, "Ah, what a wonderful scene to paint." The minister cried, "What a wonderful example of God's handiwork." And the cowboy mused, "What a terrible place to lose a cow." So it was the same Grand Canyon, but they all viewed it from a different perspective. And as we think about the elderly and the older, the sick, what is our perspective about them? I thought of three different perspectives. Some of us have perspectives of like older people, the way we view people in an elevator. How many of you use of an elevator now and then? Yeah, we all do. We go to the hospital, we use an elevator. When you're on that elevator, usually you don't talk to the person beside you. You usually don't ask them any questions because it's kind of none of your business. And so on that elevator, you keep your space from them, and there is no interaction. And that's how sometimes we can view the older people. You know, well, it's a stage of life they're going through. You know, I'm in my space, they're in their space. You know, so we're not going to have any interaction. It's just one of the things they're going through. Some of us view the elderly and the sick, we view them with compassion. And, you know, we have the prayer requests and we write down and with, well, I'll be praying for you. But that's all the further it goes. There's no action as far as going out and meeting their needs. And then some of us view the elderly, and I hope this is everyone here tonight. We view them as a field ripe for ministry. We view them as people where there's a lot of work that needs done. And we view them as their space as being our space, that we need to enter their space and work in the ministry with them. Let's read James 1, verse 27 together. Maybe some of you have your Bibles open to that. James 1, verse 27. Give you a little time here. Okay, let's read it together. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now this scripture, it's not really saying that visitation is more important than other ministries. It's not saying, well, visitation is more important than serving on, say, the cemetery committee. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that those that are involved in this ministry, they're doing it out of a pure motive. They're not doing it to be seen of men. There's no false motives in it. They're doing it out of purity of hearts. I want to read Matthew 25, verse 34. I know we read this. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye, what? Visited me. I was in prison, and again, you visited me. And later Christ says, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto who? Unto me. So what this is saying, whenever we visit, it is actually as if Christ is in prison. It's actually as if Christ is sick. It's actually as if Christ needs clothes. We are doing it unto him. And this just shows how the high regard that God has for your ministry, the ministry of visitation. I want to read 1 John 3, verse 17. It says, Whosoever seeth his brother has need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, this verse isn't in context, is referring to giving materially to those in need. But how can we apply this to visitation? What is this verse saying about a believer who will not visit an elderly or widows or sick or feeble? I think it's saying either that God's love isn't in him, or else it's saying it's not being expressed. In 1 John 3, verse 18, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? In deed and in truth. So in other words, our love isn't simply, well, I'm going to pray for you. I care about you. Our love needs to be expressed in deeds. Our love needs to be expressed in actions. The action of visitation. I want to help us empathize a little more with the aged, the sick, the widowers. And probably the best word to describe their situations is isolation. I want to ask us, and I'd like some interaction here, why are these people isolated? I mean, you and I, we're interacting with each other all the time. So why are these people isolated? What are some factors? So what keeps the people that are housebound from interacting with others?
Poor hearing, for one.
Okay, poor hearing. We're going to get to that a little bit later, Brother Ed. Thank you. What else?
Loss of mobility.
Loss of mobility, which means they can't.
Hard to get around.
They can't get around. They can't come to church. They can't. Go shopping, they can't do other things. So, and many of them can't drive. So that means they're pretty well confined to their space, to the space of their house. Another factor is, and this is something we don't think about, but another thing that isolates is a lot of times many of their family and friends have passed away. I mean, if you live to be, 85 to 100, a lot of your friends and family have already passed away. And that's something we don't think about much. I know when Sister Adelda died, she was 101 years old when she passed away. I think at least one or more of her children had already passed away. Brother Steve, do you remember? And
some of them did, yes.
Yeah, so
in-laws.
Brother Steve said it was quite a few of her family that had already passed away. And I mean, and her children at that time were 70 to 80 years old at that time. And so the older you get, the less pool of family and friends you have to associate with you. Another thing that isolates is sickness and handicaps, like Sister Kayla already mentioned. Their sickness keeps them confined to their house. They're isolated by these things. So many of the elderly, they spend the day staring at the living room walls. They're longing for interactions. They're tired of the isolation, longing to see new faces. They want to see some smiles. They want to have conversations with people. Like that, the person I told you, they were praying for that person or for someone to come. I'd like to try to illustrate the more extreme cases to help us emphasize with them. What we want to do we want to pretend that you are elderly. Now, this is hard for us, you younger ones. It might be hard for you to do. Pretend you are elderly. Pretend you're housebound. And even pretend you don't have many family to visit you. What I want you to do is pick up a green book. There might not be enough to go around in every row. Now, let's pretend this is a collar of your living room wall. So hold the book in front of your face, everybody. I'm not going to take a picture or anything. Okay. Now pretend you're alone staring at the wall from 8 in the morning to 9 at night. Okay? All right, now grab the black book. Now this represents your bedroom walls at night from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m. Now hold the black book in front of your face and stare at it for a little bit. Okay, now we covered your day Monday. So now let's move on to Tuesday. Put the green book in front of you. Pretend you're staring at this from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Now the black book. From 9 p.m. to 8 a.m. Now let's do Wednesday more quicker. Green book. Okay? Black book. Let's do Thursday. Green book. Black book. Are you getting the picture of their isolation? I mean, are we understanding what many of those are going through? Tomorrow, each of you, I mean, you're going to be going out. You're going to be meeting friends and family. A lot. I'm going to work, and I'm going to be talking to my coworkers. You might be going for grocery. You go to Lowe's. You make phone calls, face-to-face meetings, laughter. You have children. But the elderly and the sick, green book, black book. The ministry of visitation is all about taking away the isolation. We're taking it away. And we're replacing it with the relationship of the body of Christ. That's what we're doing. I want you to turn to Luke 1, verse 78. This is a verse I never thought I would use, this verse for a lesson on visitation. But the Lord laid this verse on my heart one day, and so I thought I would share it with you. And we're going to kind of use this as an outline for what happens as we in our ministry enter their world of isolation. Luke 1, verse 78, here Zacharias prophesies, and now he's speaking of Christ. Says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And it talks about what the visit does. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And even though this is about the special ministry of Jesus Christ as he visited us, I think we can apply it to us. This is what happens when we visit somebody. We want to apply this to our visitation. Point number one, if you're taking notes, visitation involves giving light. Give light to those in darkness. Remember, green book, black book? When you enter their world, they see a different face. They have the happiness of hearing young children talk. They have the joy of news from outside. The excitement of having someone to listen to them. The excitement of someone to talk to. In other words, isolation is replaced with relationship. Darkness is replaced with light. Point number two, visitation involves helping those facing darkness. It says, in the shadow of death. A lot of times when you visit older people, you know what they want to talk about? They want to talk about heaven. How many of you noticed that? Yeah. They know their time is near. And your ministry is to help them more fully see the joy that is in front of them. Talk about heaven with them. Tell them you'll meet them there sometime. And they need your reassurance. They need your comfort. You know, the walls don't shout out encouragement to them. But as you enter that isolation, the shadow of death will seem less dark, less foreboding. Your smile and your joy and fellowship, it's like a taste of heaven to them and will help them. Thirdly, visitation involves being a guide. Christ visited us to guide our feet. You know, you're going to do a lot of listening when you visit. The person you are visiting will start off talking in general. I mean, talking about the weather, talking about some memories of the past. But later, especially after you visit them a couple times, they're going to open up about concerns they have. They're going to tell you about a grandchild of theirs who's rebelling against God and the concern they have about that grandchild. They're going to talk about a family member, maybe who's divorced and remarried, and the concern they have. They might tell you about regrets they have. They might tell you about the guilt they carry. Again, you're building a relationship. You're taking down the wall and building relationship. I remember a couple years ago, Sharon and I were visiting an older sister, and she told us about a circumstance that happened. It might even happen before I was born, because I knew nothing about it. And she felt guilt. She felt she wasn't honest in the situation she was in, and she wanted to make it right. And so Sharon and I tried to guide her feet, to help her. And each of you will be guides as you visit. Guide them about their wayward grandson, about the broken relationship in their family. Guide them about the guilt they carry. Just comfort them and encourage them. That's all they need. Fourthly, visitation brings peace. It talks about the way of peace. Did you know that many old people, elderly people, struggle with whether they are saved or not? Now, I know that sounds hard to believe, but years ago, one of our ministers here at Pleasant Hill, he's long passed away, and he said that when he was young, Satan tempted him in one way, but he said now that he's older, Satan is making him doubt his salvation. Is he really saved or not? As you visit, you can give peace. God will use you to reassure them about doubts. And there might be other doubts they have. They might open up that they feel a failure in their life. They might talk about the regrets they have, about the issues in their family. And you, like Christ, will visit them with peace. You will encourage them. You will attack the doubts. You will enable them to overcome. The ministry of visitation. You enter the world of isolation. You bring light. You help them to face death. You provide guidance. And you bring peace. Now, what is the job of the minister who stands on the pulpit Sunday morning? Isn't it the same thing? The preacher ministers by providing light, preparing for death, providing guidance, and bringing peace. I want to tell you, the preacher that stands on this pulpit and does these things, and you, the lay people, and the deacons who go into the house, there is no difference. You are doing the same job. You are providing light. You are guiding their feet. You are bringing peace. You see, each of you, you are the church. You came here to church tonight. When you visit, what you're doing, you're taking the church to them. Isn't that awesome? You are taking the church to them, and you are being a minister to them. We ask us to examine our view of the elderly and sick. We looked at scriptures involving visitation. We looked at that key word, isolation. We saw Christ visited us and has given us the ministry of visitation, a ministry of bringing life, a ministry to helping guide through the valley of shadow death, a ministry of being a guide, a ministry of bringing peace. Next, we want to look at three hindrances to visitation. And these are things that they pull us away. They actually pull us away from that important ministry that God has called to us. I want to ask us all to examine our lives if we have these hindrances in our life. Hindrance number one is an attitude of, that's not my responsibility. Do you remember the account of the Good Samaritan? You know, two of them, as they walked by the man that was wounded, they didn't view helping him as their responsibility. But then the third one walked by, and he viewed it as his responsibility, and he took action. And maybe you have that attitude, well, it's not my responsibility. I mean, we have a large church, so there's other people that can do visitation. Or maybe we think, well, the official board's large, so maybe they can do the visitation, and it's not my responsibility. You know, the larger the church is, you know what that means? Brother Mark, what were you thinking? I see you shaking your head. Exactly. The larger the church is, the more people there are that need visited. And so each of us needs to view it as a calling that we need to get involved in. And maybe you're thinking, well, Brother Ray, I'm just using this as an example. God has gifted me as a teacher. So I teach Sunday school. That's my gift. So let's let someone else visit. Let me ask you this. Who will be their teacher unless you visit them and teach them? You see, as you visit them, you use your gifts. Those with the gift of teaching, God will use them to teach in some way. Those with the gift of mercy, God will use them to show mercy as you visit. Those with the gift of giving, God will use you to give in some way. Those with the gift of exhortation, God will use you to exhort. And so we need to be, a Sunday school teacher, he might spend a lot of time studying, and maybe because of the time he spends studying, he might not visit it quite as much as some others. But I think it's still a responsibility each of us have. So we can't say, well, that's not my responsibility. Let someone else visit. When we all have that attitude, you know what happens. Hindrance number two is a lack of time. How many of you are busy? Could you put your hands up? I am. I'll put my hand up. Okay. You know, things are really different today from when I was younger. I remember when I was just a child. I remember my mom and my dad and the other children. We would spend evenings, a couple evenings a week, going down to my grandma and grandpa's house, and we'd all sit by the fireplace and talk. Do you remember that, mom and dad? Yeah. There was nothing else to do. And well, it might have been some things to do, but we had more time. We were a society that wasn't as fast-paced then. We had more time back then. And my aunts and uncles, they also came down. But today's families, I'm talking about now, we are so busy that sometimes the wife needs to make an appointment to visit her husband. Is that true? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. You know, each of us, we might be busy with second jobs we don't need. We might be busy with vacations in excess. We might be busy with entertainment and hobbies in excess. So we are tired, we're exhausted, we're overbooked, we're frantically pursuing things that serve self, and we have no time to enter their living room walls and visit the dying, the elderly, the feeble, the sick, the widows, the widowers. You know, God will not overlook this sin. When we put the pursuit of money we don't need, when we put the pursuit of pleasure that is in excess, when we put those before going into the isolation of those in our church body who are hurting, God will not overlook that sin. And God is calling each of us to refocus our priorities, to make our life more simple. What things can we cut out? And give us more time to do the Lord's work. The third hindrance is, well, I'm not a deacon or a minister. I just want to give a little confession here, if that's all right. I know when I was younger, I didn't get involved, when I was a layperson, I didn't get involved in this tremendous ministry of visitation. And you know, I really regret it, that I didn't get involved. There were so many people were probably hurt because of me, because I left them in the isolation of their walls. And when I was younger, I mean, I had a lot more time than I have now. I had a lot of time that I could have been visiting, and I didn't do it. And you know, I feel guilt about it. Now, I know at that time, like if Brother Merle, like if he would have said, "Ray, so-and-so needs encouragement, I want you to go visit them," yeah, I would have did it. Sharon and I would have gladly did it. But, you know, God wants us, don't wait till we're asked to do something. The ministry is there. The field is wide open. God is calling each of us to do it. The presiding elder, we don't know 10%, we don't know even 50% of the needs in this congregation. But you do. Go out there and meet the needs. Next, we want to look at some practical tips. And I said this was like a training session. So I guess this is the training part. And I hope if you're interested in visiting, I hope you might take some notes here. I have 11, 12 different, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on each. But first of all, the first tip for visitation, have a regularly scheduled day for visitation. If you say, well, we'll try to visit someone the next couple of weeks, what's going to happen? It's not going to happen. So I'd encourage you to schedule it, mark it on your calendar. If you're visiting, say you and your wife, or if you're a single, you as a single, say you decide, I'm going to visit twice a month. I would encourage you to go through the year. We're getting towards January, new calendars. Go through the year and mark maybe two Tuesdays in January, two Tuesdays in February. Go through the year and, you know, just make it a priority. Schedule it. I know us ministers, we have a schedule to preach, and it works pretty good, doesn't it, Brother Dwayne? Usually. By having a schedule, it ensures that the job gets done. And so even so with visitation is just as important as the ministry. You're taking the church to them. I'd encourage you to schedule days for visitation. Practical tip number two, make two lists. First of all, make a list of who needs visited. And that's pretty easy to do. Go through the church directory. And as you go through the church directory, I mean, you can write down names of the older, maybe the sick. Just write the names down. And you're going to have, through the year, you're going to have to update that. If someone has a long-term illness, you might have to update your list. Make a list of who needs visited. And then also make a list of who you visited. Okay? So you have a list of the people in this congregation that need visited, and then you have a list of who you visited. Or even maybe you can combine the list, and on the list of the people that need visited, maybe you could mark the date that you visited there. And so that way, on that, say, the second Tuesday in January, when you're scheduled to go visiting, you can look at those two lists. Who needs visited? And you can also see when you visited them last. And it'll help you to know where to go. Thirdly, and this is for families with children, by all means, take your children along. Don't make the mistake of getting a babysitter. Why is that? Why do I say that? Sister Vera, what'd you say? Sister Vera said they like children, and that is so correct. Remember, they have been isolated. Now, you as mothers, if you have a couple children, or I mean, you might want to isolate yourself a little bit from your children. But these people, it could have went a couple months since they saw a little child, a little toddler. And to them, it is so precious. They're going to enjoy the jabber. They're enjoy seeing the slobber. Whatever happens, you know, they enjoy it. And what you're going to find out, the older people will spend a lot of time communicating with your children. You know, and if you're the type that you worry, well, I don't know what to say. Well, they're going to be talking a lot to your children, trying to communicate with your children, trying to interact with your children. So take your children along. Fourthly, I encourage us to call before you visit and maybe to keep the visit to around 45 minutes. It's possible, you know, you're going to visit somebody, but they might have a doctor's appointment, or maybe, hopefully, maybe a couple other people were planning to visit them that night. And so it might not suit that night. So you might want to call them first to make sure it's okay. The reason I said stay around 45 minutes. Now, they would love if you stayed an hour. They would love if you stayed 2 hours. But I think it would be good if you could visit at least two houses, possibly three houses an evening. It depends what time you can get left. But try to visit at least two, possibly three houses an evening. I did a little calculating. If you visit two people once a month, that's 24 families that you visit in a year. If you visit two people twice a month, that's nearly 50 families that you're going to break up their isolation and give them joy. Just for curiosity, I went through our directory just to see how many people in our households in our congregation could go visiting. And I found out there are at least 85 households that could go out and do visitation. And again, I did some math. If each of these households would visit two households once a month, do you know how many visits there would be from this church? Anybody that quick a thinker? It'd be over 2,000 visits a year from this congregation. Wouldn't that be awesome? Over 2,000 visits by this congregation. So have a regularly scheduled day, make two lists, take your children along, call before you go, and stay around 45 minutes. Tip number five, Say a prayer in the car before you leave. As you get in the car, maybe with, if you're married, with your wife and possibly children, as you're in the car, just bow your heads and say a prayer. Now you might say, well, Ray, why do you need to do that? Well, you want us ministers to pray before we take the pulpit, right? Don't you? Right? Shake your head, yes. Okay. Well, we want you to pray before you minister in those households. It's a real ministry. So you need to be praying about that. And I remember one time we visited a person, and I'm not going to give the details of everything that happened, but I remember we said a prayer. Now, this is when we were there. We said a prayer, and I thought, man, this is what I said was really strange. I don't know why I prayed like that, the wording I said. But later, as events unfolded in the life of that person, I came to realize why the Lord moved my lips to pray the way I did. It wasn't me, it was Him. And you see, when you pray before you go, you're asking the divine to enter into your ministry, to supernaturally meet needs that you don't know. And I think it's also good for the children. Your children will see this is a ministry. We're not just going to visit to have fun. This is a ministry for the Lord. Sixthly, spend much of your time listening. I mean, these are wells of water that have been sealed for so long. They're just longing to talk. I hear people saying, well, I can't go visiting. I don't know what to say. I'm not a people person. You know, a person who excels at visitation doesn't need to know what to say or even be a people person. All they need to do is listen. You will provide healing and life just by them by listening. And what's amazing, as you listen, you're going to find out they're ministering to you. Brother Llewellyn Miller was an example. He ministered to me when I visited him. I read the account, William Barclay. He was a famous Scottish Bible scholar. But anyways, he had a unique ability to communicate the gospel from the pulpit. And he said it was because the reason he could communicate to the average person, he said he visited an old Scot lady who lived in a humble house, who was a member of his church. And during her illness one winter, Barclay visited her regularly until she recovered. And on his last visit, she said, "When you've been here talking to me and sometimes putting up a wee prayer, it's been grand. And I've understood every word you said. But man, when you're in yon pulpit on the Sabbath, you're a way over my head." So he took from that and decided to change his preaching style. And so what I'm saying is, as we visit, we're going to learn even from them. Seventhly, I want to encourage us, show some sensitivity in what we say. Sometimes I have the habit of uttering things before I think about what I say, but when you're going visiting, and let's pretend you visit someone that has real severe back pain. Now, if you knew someone at your workplace that had real severe back pain and a week later they suffered a stroke, you know, it might not be good to say, tell them the story about, you know, your coworker that had back pain and suffered with a stroke. That wouldn't be too sensitive. Listen, learn, offer some advice. If it's something you don't know much about, offer to, you know, many of the people you visit, they don't have the internet, they can't research things like you can. Offer to research it and say you're going to let them know more about it the next time you visit. Eighthly, before you go, ask for prayer requests and say a prayer for them. There isn't anybody here who can't say a prayer. as you're visiting in that house. And what I would encourage you to do as you're visiting that elderly person, you know, maybe if it's a couple of you, you know, maybe I would take the brother's hand I'm visiting, and I would hold my wife's hand, and it'd be a circle around the person. Someone else would be holding his or her other hand. You know, there's healing in touch. Maybe this person hasn't been touched for a while, but just to have someone hold their hand is meaningful to them. Before you pray, it's very important to ask for prayer requests. And you know, many times they're gonna open up. I know a brother I visited, I was surprised. He told me about some family issues that he was struggling with. It might have been, I'm not sure if it was one of his daughters or grandchildren. They might have been going through a divorce or something. But he opened up about things that I knew were weighing heavy on him. And so ask for prayer requests. They're going to maybe talk about other health issues or things, and write them. Maybe you could write them down. Pray for them. Those things that they mention. It just, I mean, they just drink it in. You know, hearing someone pray for their grandchild that's going astray and using their name, I mean, it's just, they just drink it up. It's so special to them to have you hold their hand. It's just an awesome part of the visit. And I would encourage you, don't neglect saying a prayer. Ninthly, try to sit at a place where they can hear you better. Brother Ed mentioned that earlier. You know, visitation places you a lot of times with people that have trouble hearing. And I've actually found out that sometimes the one ear might be totally shot, they can't hear out of it all, and the other ear can be almost perfect. So you might want to ask questions. You know, do you have an ear that's better than, that you can hear out of better? And that way you can sit. Because for me, one of the awkward things about visitation is when the person has trouble hearing me. Sister Renee's shaking her head, you know. How about the rest of you? Is that awkward? You know, and you end up shouting at them, and you keep repeating it, and you feel, am I getting anywhere? You know, are they hearing even half I said? But you know, a lot of that could be avoided if you would just ask questions. I remember one time I visited an older sister. She was from this church. Sharon and I visited, and she was sitting on the bed. So let's pretend this is a bed, long ways here. So she was sitting over here on the edge of the bed. Sharon and I were over here, and her husband was here. And we were talking back and forth, and I could tell she wasn't hearing hardly anything I said, and that Sharon said. So what we did, we ended up mainly talking to the husband. And now and then, he would shout something over to her. He was a couple feet closer, so maybe 20% of a conversation she heard. I'm not sure if that's much. And so we were all done visiting. It was frustrating, wasn't it, Sharon? Yeah. We decided to have a word of prayer with her. So now I walk over to the edge of the bed, and I kneel beside her, and now I'm on the other side of her, okay? And so I kneel beside her, and there's some things you don't forget in ministry. This is one of them. And I looked up at her. I said, could we say a prayer for you? And she looked at me and said, why are you talking so loud? You see, this ear that I was talking to, she was hearing from perfectly. The other ear, she was totally deaf in. So if we would have just, at the start, had her move over here, or else we could all went over here to talk to her, we would have had a good visit. But because I didn't do that, it was kind of frustrating. Tenthly, and now this might appeal to you who have the gift of giving. I don't think we all have to do this. I know Sharon and I never started this. I don't know if we want to start this or not. Sister Sharon, you type this for me. What do you think of it? She didn't take it out, so I guess it's all right. Consider taking along a gift for them to remember you by. So it could be a picture of you, or a picture of your family, or some very small item. You remember their green book, black book, remember? And to have your picture near their bed or in their living room, or a family picture, something to remember you by. Every time they see that, they're going to think of you, and it's going to bring back the joy of your visit. And remember, you don't need to do that, but something you want to consider. Lastly, keep your eyes and ears open for other needs. As you're there visiting, you might see work in the house that needs done. You might see they're living in poverty. You could even see signs of abuse. You just never know what you find. Keep your eyes and ears open, and if you see anything else that needs done, you know, take care of it. The ministry of visitation, it's been neglected. I admit it, I've neglected it. I want to ask us to consider visiting, possibly at least once a month, maybe twice a month, and just allow the Lord to use you. He's going to bless your ministry. He wants you to be involved. And may God bless you as you enter the ministry of visitation.
I want to thank Brother Ray for sharing that good stuff tonight. It was helpful, very helpful to me. As we think about the love we have for our shut-ins, for the elderly, for the ones that can't get around, there's two things that came to mind. Our love for them is not passive, it's active. And secondly, our love for them is not selfish, it's giving love. I remember one visit we had. It was actually a deacon's visit with Sister Adelda Eiler. She was very long in years, and as those that were familiar with that knew that she was hard of hearing. She heard very hard, and she probably couldn't remember the visit the next day. So I think she may have had some dementia. Brian and I were scheduled to visit her on the deacon's visit. And I asked Brian, what are we going to do with the visit? We asked her the questions. She would respond in the affirmative, but she wouldn't remember. She didn't come to Love Feast any longer, so she wasn't able to be part of the Love Feast occasion. And I said something to Brian. I wanted this visit to be special for her. I said, how you feel just about singing, just going there and singing, just Brian and I. Now, Brian sounded good, but, so I took my guitar, and I'm not sure if I did the right thing or not, but I know as we took the green book, as we were singing those hymns, she heard well enough, she sang along with every word. She knew every song, and she was blessed by it. And not only her, but we were blessed by it as well. By just simply taking a song for her to hear. So what I would encourage you, if you're interested in visiting someone that you can't really correspond or speak to and converse with, sing for them. Just sing for them. I remember my mom, she was the same way. And she just loved when we come and sing for her. Steve and Vera were there on occasion, and we all sang for her, and she loved it. So keep up the good work. Thanks for the encouragement tonight, Brother Ray. We appreciate it. We ask you if you stand for prayer.